Hello and welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jesse Kohlhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Body Mind, by Ken Dykewald, and summarized by myself, Jesse Kohlhagen. As always, we'll begin with a quote. Large numbers of people have become disenchanted with outward searching and dependence, and have begun to look within for solutions and answers to the conflicts and diseases of their lives. End quote. Through Dykewald's engaging, experiential narrative, we're drawn into an illuminating journey toward higher self-awareness with practical applications in everyday life. Articulating the complex relationship between body type, personality, habits, and experience, Dykewald suggests specific, practical methods for obtaining deeper self-knowledge of physical, emotional, sexual, and spiritual makeup, and relates techniques for releasing repressed feelings, as well as self-healing and increased energy. So let's get started. The first big thought is introduction. What is the body-mind? Quote, health and disease don't just happen to us. They're part of a matrix, the body-mind. They're active processes issuing from inner harmony or disharmony, profoundly affected by our states of consciousness, our ability or inability to flow with experience. They reflect psychological and somatic harmony. End quote. This is the foundational theme within the book, recognizing the inseparable connection between the psychological, mind, and somatic, body, experience to create harmony in our beings and our lives. In the West, we tend to make a duality out of our body minds, separating our psyche, which is considered to lie exclusively between our ears, and our body, which is considered to be just about everything else moving beneath our head. We separate these two into distinct, often competing forces. In reality, every aspect of our being, psyche, body, emotions, experiences, traumas, hopes, wishes, passions, fears, tensions, they all exist within an interconnected web that makes us who we are, what Dykewald calls our body-mind. When it comes to the human being, the sum is so much greater than its individual parts. Each and every part of you is intimately and remarkably related to every other part of you. By discovering and integrating the relationship between these quote-unquote parts, we bring greater understanding, harmony, and healing into our body-mind, ultimately diminishing the conflicts that exist within us and increasing our overall physical and psychological well-being. In short, we create balance and harmony within ourselves and our lives. One of the major themes throughout this book is the idea that our bodies become our walking autobiographies. Dykewald shows us through countless fascinating tales of his own bodywork experiences that our stories, histories, and lives are constantly being revealed through our body's form and flow. The emotions and experiences which have formed our personalities have literally affected the formation and structuring of our muscles and tissues. Quote, what we have done with ourselves, how we have done it, how frequently we have done it, and how it felt to be doing it are all reflected in the way we've developed our muscles, bones, and neuromuscular coordination. The body begins to form around the feelings that animate it, and the feelings in turn become habituated and trapped within the body tissue itself. End quote. This is remarkable because it's a feedback loop that works both ways. Our bodies act as storehouses for our experiences, and by unlocking these crystallized memories and experiences through various bodywork and mindfulness techniques, we can release the associated tensions, reprogram limited habitual patterning, and create a much greater sense of ease, spaciousness, and freedom in our bodies and our entire lives as a result. But, quote, before any therapy or growth process truly can work, there must be a state of self-awareness and body mindfulness, end quote. And this leads us to our next big thought. Energetic anatomy, the subtle body. Quote, a breakthrough occurs when you recognize you are more energy than matter, end quote. Carolyn Miss. In a nutshell, quantum physics says that as you go deeper and deeper into the inner workings of the atom, you see that there's actually nothing there, just energy waves. The atom is actually a kind of invisible force field which emits waves of electrical energy. Every single atom in your body is giving off and absorbing light and energy all the time. The waves can be measured and the effects can be seen. And interestingly enough, each atom has its own frequency of vibration. This manifests in fascinating ways within the human being. Observing the energetic centers of the body, otherwise known as chakras, we come to discover that specific frequencies are related to specific areas of the body, and also specific feelings, memories, and traumas that are stored. It's as if the human body is a large circuit board. When certain neuromuscular switches are opened through various bodywork techniques, similar stories, experiences, and feelings emerge from the exact same body parts in many different people from many different walks of life. Quote, for example, feelings and memories of being left behind and neglected repeatedly appear when a person's chest is being released. When the upper back is worked on, the muscular confrontation is often accompanied by strong feelings of rage and anger. Jaws release sadness. Hips release sexuality. Shoulders seem invariably to tell stories of burdens and stressful responsibilities. End quote. As you can see, quite a bit of unwanted or so-called negative emotion can easily become stored within the corresponding regions of the body-mind. Let's take a deeper look into the energetic qualities associated with these regions of the body by exploring the ancient philosophy of yoga. Journey through the chakras, reading our energy. The Kundalini yoga perspective, which is a division of Tantra yoga, is remarkably similar to some of the Western body mindfulness approaches. The central idea of Kundalini yoga is that within the interior of the spine exists a hollow column of energy that Hindus call the Sushumna. Along this conduit, from the base of the spine all the way to the top of the head, flows the most powerful of all energies within the human body. Two psychic currents, originating on the right and left base of the spine, spiral upward and around the channel like snakes, crisscrossing each other at seven important locations in the body. These intersections of energy are referred to as chakras. According to yogic philosophy, each chakra is connected to a specific point along the spine and is related to a specific level of psycho-emotional development. The goal of the yogi, therefore, is to develop himself in such a way that he will evolve through each chakra's lesson, quality, and challenge, raising the Kundalini energy up from the base of the spine to the top of the head. A brief overview of the chakras is as follows. Chakra 1, root chakra, Muladhara, located at the base of the spine, connected to bones, legs, the feet, the rectum, and the immune system. Relates to grand human potential, primitive energy, the tribal mind, and basic survival needs. Chakra 2, sacral or spleen chakra, Svadhisthana, located between the navel and the pubic bone, connected to sexual organs, large intestine, lower vertebrae, pelvis, appendix, bladder, and hips. Relates to sexual drives and primary interpersonal relationships. Chakra 3, solar plexus chakra, Manipura, located between the navel and the sternum, connected to abdomen, stomach, upper intestines, liver, kidneys, adrenals, spleen, and middle spine. Relates to raw emotions, power drives, self-worth and self-esteem, and social identification. Chakra 4, the heart chakra, Anahata, located in the center of the chest, connected to heart and circulatory system, lungs, shoulders, arms, hands, ribs, breasts, diaphragm, and thymus gland. Relates to feelings of affection, acceptance, compassion, love, and self-expression. Chakra 5, throat chakra, Visuddha, located at the front of the throat, connected to throat, thyroid, trachea, neck, mouth, teeth, gums, jaw, esophagus, and the parathyroid. Relates to thought communication, expression, and self-identification. It's the mediator between thought and feeling and expression. Chakra 6, the brow or frontal chakra, Ajna, located between the eyebrows, connected to brain, nervous system, eyes, ears, nose, pineal gland, pituitary gland, relates to mind power, heightened self-awareness, extrasensory perception, and intuitive abilities. Chakra 7, the crown chakra, Sahasrara, located at the top of the head, connected to muscular system, skeletal system, and the skin, relates to the experience of self-realization, enlightenment, and total oneness with all that is. When certain disturbances or tensions arise within these regions, it can be tremendously helpful to seek not only the physical cause of the ailment, but the psychological, emotional, and energetic roots as well. The vibrational qualities of these energy centers can help us discover the underlying body-mind tensions that may exist and point us in the direction of greater healing and transformation. The next big thought, body language, the barometer for our lives. Quote, any illness, whether cancer or schizophrenia or a cold, originates in the body-mind, end quote. Dykewald believes that a disturbance doesn't begin at the time of an injury, illness, or disease, but rather that the injury, illness, and disease occur because the muscles and emotions have been chronically held and contracted for some time, thereby predisposing the area to disturbance. Quote, the areas that are choked of life and energy become less vital, more fragile, more diseased, and therefore more prone to injury and sickness, end quote. This isn't to say that genetics don't play a role in the way our bodies turn out, but based on his research, Dykewald and many others in his field have discovered the undeniable truth that the human psyche seems to be the most powerfully formative factor of all. This can be a blessing in disguise, though, because the body-mind is its own problem solver, where, quote, wrong answers show up as tension and right answers show up as vitality, end quote. Our bodies are literally the barometers for our entire lives. Let's take a brief look at some of the basic messages they send us through body types and patterns working from the ground up. A much more in-depth exploration of each and every body region takes up the majority of the book's content, and we would recommend it in full to anyone who's interested in deepening their understanding of this fascinating topic. As we begin to explore the body, please keep in mind that these powerful connections are simply systems that have been developed for greater self-awareness of our patterns. Be gentle with yourself and try to observe without judgment. Once we see and understand the relationship between psyche and soma, we can embark on the life-changing journey of exploring ways to affect that relationship, to transform our bodies and our lives. As Dykewald himself says, quote, try to see the parts of your body-mind that are undeveloped, not as points of weakness, but rather as untapped regions of yourself to be further explored and developed, end quote. Ready? All right, here we go. The feet, quote, the feet and the way a person uses them for support and balance are excellent indicators of how stable and grounded the person is, end quote, both physically and emotionally. Ankles and knees, and in fact all joints, quote, are psychosomatic crossroads. As crossroads, they have to mediate between the forces, physical as well as psychological, that flow through them, end quote. Injuries to the ankles and knees are frequently related to psychological conflicts surrounding feelings of how a person is dealing with progress in their life or resistant to progress. The ankles and knees reflect a sense of ease with which we progress through our lives and move through the world. The legs, quote, develop as a result of the way they are used, both physically and psycho-emotionally. Conversely, different types of leg structures seem to predispose themselves to specific style of behavior, end quote. Tension in this body-mind region usually relates to the way that we, quote, hold on for dear life, end quote. The pelvis tends to store tremendous amounts of emotions for people and obviously relates to sexual energy. Those with a pelvis that tips forward, as if the tailbone is tucking down toward the floor, tend to suffer from a holding in of sexual feelings and frequently display an inability to stay focused or grounded in emotional activities. Those with a pelvis that tips back with an excessive arch in the lower back tend to have a heightened sexual focus and energy, but may have difficulty with release and truly letting go comfortably. The abdominal cavity is the most vulnerable and unprotected region of the body-mind, which, quote, stores many of our vital organs, our guts, and our feelings, end quote. When emotions are blocked before they're fully expressed, the energetic charge of the emotion and experience that gave birth to it becomes stressfully trapped within the region it originated, which is very often the belly. The lower back is another mediator in the body, which attempts to balance the flow of energy from our upper and lower halves. Oftentimes, lower back disturbance can be linked to a feeling of being stuck in the middle of a wide variety of passions, conflicts, and psychosomatic needs. The diaphragm is the gateway through which the energy and feelings of the lower three energy centers pass through to the upper portions of the body-mind. Since the diaphragm, not the lungs, as most people believe, is responsible for the inhalation and exhalation of air, it can easily become constricted, blocked, and tightened as a kind of armoring or defense mechanism against unwanted feelings. But by rigidifying the diaphragm, we not only reduce the sensation of unwanted feelings, we lessen the experience of pleasurable feelings as well. In a sense, this can be an area where we numb ourselves. The chest is primarily a feeling focuser, amplifier, and translator. It processes the emotions that flow upward from the belly and gives passion and relatedness to our feelings. This is our center of acceptance as well, of ourselves, others, and the general outcomes in our lives. The lungs' primary function is to regulate the process of inhalation and exhalation of life-giving air. It's no surprise, then, that shallow breathing can act as a personal defense against the experience of feeling. For to breathe is to feel, and conversely, to limit breathing is to limit feeling. In fact, Dykewald even quotes psychiatrist Fritz Perls, who says, quote, "Anxiety is the experience of breathing difficulty during any blocked excitement. It is the experience of trying to get more air into the lungs, immobilized by muscular constriction of the thoracic cage," end quote. The heart is said to be primarily concerned with the expression of affection and love. Tension in this area usually indicates a state of chronic over-self-protection. Quote, "This protective wall of armor guards against hurt and attack, but also locks away feelings of warmth and nourishment," end quote. The left shoulder is often rotated slightly inward in a posture that suggests guarding. A powerful note on the energy of the heart, quote, "Love is simply, yet profoundly, the unrestricted experience of life. Its existence is continuous, but we experience it only to the degree that we have allowed our body minds to be open, integrated, and balanced," end quote. The shoulders are primarily involved with the doing and expressing part of one's character. They have the responsibility of mediating between the emotional powers of the torso and the expressive elements of the arms and hands. Quote, "Quite literally, the shape and formation of this body-mind region reveals the manner in which this person is shouldering his responsibilities," end quote. The arms and hands ground us in respect to the world of people and things. Quote, "The upper arms reflect our strength. The elbows reflect the ease or awkwardness with which we move through the world. The forearms are the means we use, and the hands are used for giving and taking, for reaching out for goals," end quote. The neck and throat correspond to the capacities for thought, language, self-reflection, and self-actualization. These are the qualities that separate man from all other creatures. Tension in this region usually reflects communication difficulties or conflict in regard to one's self-image. The neck can also be a place for holding tension when we've taken on more responsibility than we can comfortably handle. The jaw is often the place where tears are held from prematurely stopped crying. Dental problems caused by excessive grinding are often traceable to repressed anger. It's amazing how many large expressions, feelings, and memories can become locked in such a small body-mind region. Dykewald concludes with a moving illustration of human evolution, which he believes will dramatically accelerate, quote, "when large numbers of people become interested in exploring the realms and limitations of their own body-mind potentials," end quote. Indeed, with body mindfulness, we have the opportunity to take greater responsibility for shaping futures for ourselves, our loved ones, and the planetary whole. Quote, "Futures that are free of conflict and dis-ease and are filled with awareness and health," end quote. So there we have it, Ken Dykwald's exploration of the vital mind and body connection. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.